Thank you very much for Dr. Robinson's introductions. A little corrections. I have a background with some database and fuzzy series, and fuzzy set series, not really control. Thank you very much for everybody here. We know that the network is down, so you have to listen to me. And let's just start the game, okay? Today we're going to talk about our recent efforts in the power saving technology stuff, which are in the database field. It's called Power vs. Throughput Control for the database management systems. My advisor, Dr. Xiaorui Wang, and my former advisor, Dr. Yi Chen Tu, who is an expert in database. Okay, let's start. The problem I was trying to solve is very simple. Nowadays, everybody knows that the data centers are energy starvings. They are hungry for energy, they consume a lot of energy. And database actually is one of the biggest, most major applications in the data centers. So maybe the intuition will be easy that maybe we can control the DBM throughput to save some energies, to seek some energy saving opportunities. And giving an example for this, here is a load in the single servers in data centers, typical data center servers. The load is refreshing is very highly. And somehow, for only a small fraction of time, it reached the peak. Most time, it just varies in a small scope. So this is the maximum load, and there is if we can set a relatively reasonable set point, that we guarantee some kind of performance, and this performance will balance the overall throughput across the data centers, and somehow you can get benefit from that, and this provides opportunities for power savings. We don't really, do automation controls for the, to lower down this peak. We do, we're trying to utilize the low power state in the hardware. And another thing is that we're trying to encourage the gap, the valley part of the curve, trying to, increase it to meeting the line, the setting point there. So that creates a perfect scenario that the traditional feedback control plays in the game. To begin with, we set a very clear goal, minimizing the power consumptions of our database systems while maintaining the desired performance. There are two major challenges in this. First, engine and database, how they correlated, how they connect with each other. How can we somehow profile in the operations of DBMMs to energy cost, and which can lead to eventually to power consumption minimizations. And second thing is, there's not really much work in the database field about control, so how to integrate the classic work in another classic work and make it work. Taking my previous example, and the first challenge is how can we make this throughput or load to mapping it to the active power. And this relation, this mapping, is one of the biggest challenges that haven't been done in the previous work. And that's correlated energy cost. With the set point, maybe we can control it to the set point, and which eventually lead to the energy savings and power savings. So the two major contributions of my work here is to have the very fine-grained energy profile in DBMS, and I apply the feedback control in the DBMS. So here's the mid part. The correlation studies of different hardwares with different power modes and how the DBMS performance reacts in these circumstances. Looking at these figures, we actually tune down the power memory state to different power state, and the actual power savings, you can see here, is less than 20%. In both cases, two workloads, I/O intensive and CPU intensive. And at the same time, for DBMS, if you tune down even one power state, the performance degradation is unbearable, 90%, 80%. The reason because is that not only DBMS is sensitive to memory cost, once you tune down the power state, this memory can become invaluable in the virtual space, and it will eventually affect the memory management of the operating systems, and they will cause the system hang and the failures in the systems. If you choose very fine time scale, like nanoseconds, and control it very luckily, you can gain some throughput, but eventually it will lead to a failed state. That's our experiment fails. And so as a result, we conclude that maybe low power state in memory should be not a good choice here for power saving for database workloads. Another thing we started on though is DVFS in the CPU. Of course, I assume everybody knows this, the result, the linear savings of the power. But the interesting here is that even we tune down the DVFS state from 100% to 0.0, this is something I will introduce later. And the power saving, the power saving is linear. Well, the performance degradation is different according to different DBMS workload. For IO intensive workload, because they don't really compete for the CPU resources, if you can tune down a lot of the CPU frequency level to save energy. And here, the reason why I have DVFS0 here is actually a deep sleep state of CPU, which means the CPU almost consumes no power at this state. And we include here, but we actually don't implement in the real experiment because the transition time from deep sleep to the active state is too long. In our experiment, actually more than 10 seconds. It's very unbearable for some workloads, especially CPU intensive workload. So as a conclusion here, we found that CPU provides a very great power savings, and the relationship can be approximated with linear regression, linear models. So look at the figure in the left. It's actually this data actually reported in many, many previous works that if you tune down DVFS levels, the power is changing, you know, linearly. And looking at the figure on the left. And if we tune down the criticality of workloads, the reaction of the DBMS throughput to the DVFS control, this knob, is different. So this contributes to an interesting problem. How can we get these informations from DBMS that we can, you know, perform a very efficient active control? So let's see the thing here. With a different workload, with a different ratio of IO intensive queries inside, the sensitivity to the DVFS level control knob is different. When you have more workloads, IO workload in the whole, you know, combined mixed workload, you cannot really, you know, change in the throughput while you tune down the DVFS to a very low state. So this sensitivity is what we explore in our system plan models to build the control framework. And this sensitivity is also linearly approximated with the ratio of IO intensive queries in the workload. So this concludes our third insights that the ratio of IO intensive queries lambda is the key to modeling the workload statistics for power controls. We should also reveal another fact that if we want to perform power control in the system level for DBMS throughput, it's kind of impossible because this factor is very important. So a little bit of temporary conclusion here to review the three insights in our system studies is that the low power state in CPU provides the greatest opportunities for power savings. DBMS throughputs and the CPU frequency can be approximated by linear models, as here, very simple. But the things that there is a factor we need to capture in the DBMS throughputs and the workloads to further review the impact of the CPU frequency to the throughput, which is the lambda. So here we introduce. I will go through the whole data flows in our framework to see how our system works. So first we have a query workloads. It feeds into the query queue in the DBMS systems, and the DBMS will analyze the workload by, you know, estimating the resource consumption of each queries, how many CPU tables you will use, how much pages you're going to use for these queries. And this actually already implemented in DBMS. We don't change that. We just review this information. After we get this information, we get the workload statistics. We feed it into a so-called workload classifier to find whether this is a IO intensive workload or not. So we can update the lambda, which is crucial in the control system models. We got the lambda, we feed it into PI control, and we have user specified the set point. I note here that finding the set point maybe is user specified. if find a good set point, actually it's very hard. So we feed the set point to the player controllers, we get the variance of the actual throughput to the set point as a lambda, delta r. We calculate the best frequency in this circumstance and feed it to the CPU power state modulus, which actually decide what the signal of frequency level to the actually the frequency in the CPUs. And we have new right now we have new power state, we have new CPU state, how the system reacts to that. We have the throughput monitor and the system utilization monitors to get the information as the feedback. And that's basically the control loop we have here, which is the very basic feedback control loop. We have the controller, actuator, and the plant. This red arrow shows the path control framework that we implement in our systems. Okay, let's introduce two critical components of our framework. First is the fuzzy workload classifier. Why fuzzy? We can use simple rule-based classifier to do that, but we can even do even simpler things. We already get the CPU use and the page use. Why not use that to directly identify whether it's an intensive workload or not? There's two factors here. First, these statistics are highly inaccurate. You have to calibrate that. Even after calibrations, those informations are the total amount of the resource you're going to use for persistence queries. For example, the total size of the tables you're going to query for this, total number of the whole CPU resource you're going to use for persistence queries. It's not really time unit resource we can use to identify the runtime informations. And why not rule-based? Rule-based, there is one drawback we don't want in rule-based, because we want to design our whole system very fast. Our design goal is like 10 milliseconds, and the rule-based will be actually slow because you have to scan every rule one by one, and somehow the rule-based is very large. So we design a fuzzy rule-based systems. We classify the workload according to a small sample the training set, and we get the membership of each components. Basically, it's like the protocol is like this. We have the statistic vectors we fit in the evaluation metrics. We get the cluster weight of each predefined clusters based on the learning set. We calculate the implications, which attitude identifies whether it belongs to this cluster or not. And we calculate the confidence, like maybe 0.7%, maybe the IoT test, maybe 0.3% is not. So we aggregate the result with our learning results. We decide maybe it's yes or no questions. Eventually, this leads to the updates of the lambda. For the controller, I delete all the slides here because I really want to constrain time, make life easier. So with the model we have, system model we have is the reaction of frequency to the throughput. It's a very zero order model. And the controller is based on simple models. The controller design is actually simple. We specifically choose a PI controller because it has very silent features like zero state errors, short settling time, and stabilities. If we can find the control parameters, correct and carefully. So I think these figures you have been seeing a lot in the control theory textbooks. So I'll just skip here. But the simple steps of trying to find the control parameters to tune the systems. Like you get the models, controller, and systems. You find the you fit it into the transfer functions. You do the power placement. You design based on the design the control period length and the maximum overshoot time, the size, and you get the PI, KP, and KI. So we evaluate it. And this is actually the hardest part. We really spend a lot of time on that. We build our system in a real servers, a Dell PowerEdge R710 with 12 cores Intel Xeon, 16 gigabyte memories, and 1 terabyte storage. The software we use is Linux Red Hat 5 and PostgreSQL, which is an open source database. We can actually leak the information from that. And the workload we use is TPC benchmarks and SSDS, which is astronomy scientific database. And we use power. What are our power meters to measure the powers? There is we designed a system contention here to, you know, verify the controller here, verify the performance of the controller here. The system contention is like three environments. First, ideal, which means the DBM is the only process running in the systems. No interference, no other resource occupations. The second is competence. Other user level processes are competing for the IO resources, for the CPU resources. The third one is the preemptive. Some high priority, like system kernel threads, is stealing the resource from the database systems. In these three scenarios, we will see how this noise can be handled by the controllers. Also, we designed a lot of baselines. First is the data of practice, which we actually implement in our systems. The first one is normal, which means no power management. Everything is targeting the best performance. Speed step is building power management in Intel chips in SandBridge, which we actually tune down the frequency according to the system utilization is measured by itself. And there is three state-of-the-art baselines. First is tradition. Actually, it's the open-loop control based on the model estimations. The second one is the heuristic, which is widely adopted in database systems because it's ad hoc, it's easy to implement. And the S-control is a server-level power control we used from one of our previous work, but it's a system-level control with a target on the DBM performance. Let's see the result. This is a snapshot of PET in the competing setups. As you can see here, because other processors are still trying to compete with the CPU resources and IO resources, the normal and steep step always set the power to the maximum. But this other process performance is not really clear in our circumstances. PET controls the system according to the DBMS performance. Sometimes when the DBMS performance is not to the set point, we lower the power state to save power. As you can see, the margin between these two lines actually is very large. And agree with the result of previous figures in three environments, we can see that we actually save a lot of energies. We save 50% of energy in the state of practice in speed step, and 51.3% than the normal cases, which is kind of amazing. And we also compared our work with other controllers baselines, like heuristic traditional and S control. And still, we can converge to the set point very fast. And we have a very small, compared with them, we have small overshoots. We have the best, smallest overshoots and the best energy saving among all the controllers. And that's the best result we have. I want to show here in this talk. So to conclude the take-home message, our work trying to minimize the power consumption of DBMS on the user-specified performance bound. Controller design based on the system characteristics is our solution. We empirical studies in a lot of setups and baselines, and study the energy and DBMS processing, the relation between them, and we design and implement PET to do the feedback control. Thanks very much. Oh, very important. The funding information, we have to do that. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Time for questions.
So what happens when, let's say, the DBMS does some kind of log checkpointing or?
Very good questions. Log checking and log updating, synchronizing, indexing is not considered a throughput here. But the thing is that for a commercial database, it will smoothen this workload as a kind of smooth the workload here, which consumes like static energy power cost in the same, which means when the workload is low, it will do the job somehow when it's automatically boot up. And at that time when the but we don't really care about this performance, so you can damage it no matter what. And we will come up and recover later. The recovery time of this is very short. You don't really worry about that.
Mm-hmm. question. Mm-hmm. Have you experimented with the query? Let's say you can give the query optimizer different paths for queries execution. Have you experimented with that as a, let's say, as a variable to influence power usage? Or
let me repeat your question. Okay, you are asking for different execution paths of queries and how its energy consumption, whether I can control that. Very good questions. I have a paper on that. I have a paper published in the ICDCS this year about how to estimate the energy consumptions of different execution paths of queries. And yes, we can do that, but we didn't do it here. Why? Because we don't want to, you know, because this paper is under review when that paper is also under review. So we don't want, you know, have the same contributions amount to these two papers, but we can do that.
Okay. I have two questions. First one is, what will happen in your system if the, you know, the set point you're given is not even feasible?
Let me understand your question in an example. Okay, if I set the set point too low, most time I will lower down the lower down the power state to meet this. I will try to jeopardize a lot of performance. That could happen. As I said, finding a good set point is very hard. We count on users and system administrators to find this good set point according to their specifications. In our scenarios, we use 50% as the upper bound for the set point, because the trace we started from Google website is that the average utilization of DBMS in Google and Facebook is like 30% or 40% in the system utilizations for database services. So I think 50% is okay. And did I answer your question correct?
So second question is, is there anything special in your, this whole control system design that's sort of customized for the DBMS workload you're looking at? Or like if I, change that into any other workload, right? Maybe an app server or a web server, wouldn't your controller work exactly the same way? Other than you have your queries, then you have different types of workload.
I think one selling features of feedback control is that they have a well-based theory support. They guarantee the performance, guarantee the features. We don't really change any, we don't actually change anything in the controller design. We just follow the classic good way. But I think control theory can be applied to any schemes you mentioned. The thing here, we want to integrate the classic to the classic control in the classic database. So we only work, right now our purpose is only work on the database field. But for the web service, I think we need to control a lot of things in the, in the capabilities of different level softwares. That's actually additional control. I'll put that in my journal version papers.
Yeah, I guess my real point was that there has been a lot of prior work on other types of workload, right?
Yes,
try to optimize for power and performance at the same time.
Yeah, the literature we found most happens in the system level. I do have a lot of literature study in my papers. I don't actually include here because of limit of time, because I find a lot of people limit out of that time. So I didn't put them here. But yes, there are a lot of work literature studies, especially in the work network field, web service. The reason why we don't add them here, the reason I think that our work is different from them is, I think this is actually the first paper talking about power energy controls in DBMS systems. And DBMS is actually not the same as web service.
Let's
take offline. Okay.
So just a quick question. What's the characteristic of the SDSS benchmark? And is it similar to the TPC? Is it IO intensive benchmark?
TPC is, you cannot really say TPC is IO intensive or CPU intensive. For TPCC, it's usually CPU intensive. Okay. For TPCH, it's mostly IO intensive. SDSS is the reason why we use the SDSS is that it has a huge, huge data set. We are doing simple things like scanning. We are preparing this for the next step, like key value store. So that's why we started here. But the SDSS we majorly use is just for the large data size.
But have you evaluated the correctness of your workload classifier? So.
Oh yeah, I do have it. Good question. But you know, I have a lot of slides in the backup.
Okay.
I have a lot of slides in the backup, just you know, saving some time. Actually, the FATA workload server works very good.
I see.
But even it's wrong, our max overshoot is 55%. It's still within the region. We can handle it. Thank you very much for the question. All right. Thank you very much. Oh, please. Okay.
So in the paper you mentioned the beta parameter as limbo state, so to say.
Yeah. I missed that point that's actually important insight in our papers. If the workload, especially the DBMS workload, you have too many IO intensive workload in the system, the system is already in the dangling state that you know everybody is waiting for IO, but you know nobody get that, and CPU is also very busy. We try to avoid that in offset because it causes a lot of noise and that's something you try to do that in the system. We identify that state based on system modifications, and we carefully set the set point to avoid this state.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks a lot.